My Rabbi Side Lessons from the Lathe. We'll discuss a very interesting topic today, which is entitled Netta, Bibi, and Trump. What do they all have in common? Parshas Bamidbar, Shavuos Hava Aleinu Latova, Shloishas Yemei Hagbula. The 3 days as we anticipate the beautiful Kabbalah Satorah, Hava Aleinu Latova, certainly something different for all of you this year, being able to accept Torah as you learn Torah the whole year here in Eretz Yisrael. What an honor. What do they have in common? I don't know, but I thought I would get you to come. So, I decided to. Now, here we go. So, Parshas Bamidbar, as we know, it's very interesting. We are told, this is based on Halacha, actually codified even earlier, I believe in the Rishonim, and that is, Shkoyach, and that is that the concept of Parshas Bamidbar is always read the Shabbos before Shavuos. So some say that the reason is because Parshas B'chukosai that we read last week has to be read 2 weeks before. Like Kisavo is read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah because we can't take the clothes. It's too difficult for us. So we need a week to breathe, especially if it was like this year where you would have the clothes, mamish. Thank you. Would you have the clothes, mom? My wife told me I'm not allowed to drink during this year. She says she can hear me sipping. So I will prove her wrong. However, there are those that argue that that's also true, but also there is a distinct and distinguished connection to Parshas Bamidbar, that it has to be read a week before the important Yontif of Shavuos, in our case, Mamash, the day before. So this is something that I like to say this a lot. Torah is Chayim. You read words and sometimes you just miss it. And in fact, the Ramban totally reads it the opposite, so I can't blame myself. But it's quoted in the name, I believe, of Rabbi Frand. And I didn't see it inside of Rabbi Frand. Rabbi Hoffman actually quotes this. And he says that Rabbi Frand says as follows. We have the beginning of the parsha, of course, the census. Suus Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael L'mishpechoteya U'shmechotam L'beis Avosam L'mispar Shemot Kol Yisrael L'gugulotam. So he asked the following question. It seems that b'mispar shemot is first, b'mispar, the number, shemot, of their names. He thought, Rabbi Fran, that it is an oxymoron. It's a contradictory statement. Mispar connotes a number, a mere number. We always like to, you know, if you want to do a commercial, Yeshiva Leva Torah, we are not just a number. You know, why you? You know, you're not just a number. Everybody, you know, the president knows you by name. What's your name again? You know, like, fine, okay, fine. But you're a number. But then it says, Shemos, individually, the Ramban says actually that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron went together to each home. They didn't have them come. They went to our home. They said, tell us a little bit about your family. What's your name again? Where you're from? What? Amazing. I want to know about you. So they're individuals. How do you answer this oxymoron, if you will? This idea of they were just names, they're just numbers. Oh, but they were individual names. Says Rabbi Fran, both ideas are true. They're a svei dinim. On one hand, the Jewish people are being counted as a collective part of an entity. The individuals are part of the whole. On the other hand, they're individuals. They're counted as individuals, own unique character traits they carry with them within the nation. This is also the parsha we start to learn about something seemingly not so Jewish, which is flags. Flags play a huge role nowadays, you know, just in the last 48 hours. Flags, you know, the American flag. And then when we went to Yerushalayim, you saw all the American, you know, if you didn't know what was going on, I was like, what is it, we're in America? All the American flags. Obviously, our beautiful Jewish flag, when we were marching in Yerushalayim with the flag of Israel, what pride we have. And l'havdil afti adolos, the Palestinians want to enrage us, so they fly the Nazi flag. Flags mean a lot. Isn't that a non-Jewish concept? No, we see that every tribe had their own flags, their own individuality. So maybe we can say that that's why this parsha is read before Shavuos, when we celebrate the Torah that was given to us on Har Sinai. The Torah is a unifying factor. On one hand, it was ki'isha chad b'lev echad, there was a unifying factor of being part of a great tzibur, and even though we are told that B'nai Yisrael didn't necessarily get along so well, but when it came to Mamre Har Sinai, ki'isha chad b'lev echad. V'yichon sham Yisrael neged ahar, though, is individual. It's in the singular, even though the words before and after are in the plural. V'yichon, it was each person accepting the Torah. Ki'isha chad b'lev echad, though. Yes. Each individual, but was part of the Sibor. That's why the Midrash tells us that there were these flags. It says, very interesting Midrash, the Midrash says that B'nai Yisrael saw that the ministering angels had their own flag. Each of them had a flag. And they said, that's cool, we like that idea. Can we have flags also? And God said, okay, we'll give you a flag. So the Midrash needs explanation. What does that mean? It symbolized the unique role that every individual had, but if you think about it, it's not really true. Because each Sheva had a flag. Each person didn't have a flag. You were part of the Sheva. It's actually interesting because it says that it brought Achdus towards Klal Yisrael. You would think it wouldn't because everyone now is individual. Now you're Sheva Yehuda, go over there. You're Sheva Dan, go over there. No. You were part of a collective group, but it showed the individuality. No reason for jealousy because each person has their own unique role. We don't look at we don't look at a person and say, wow, I can't believe that person is that, and I'm only this. So we say, I'm this, and they're that. They don't go with each other, right? I have my unique role, they have your unique role. I can't do, that's fine, but they can't do what I do. That's his dual nature. And in fact, in the Siva Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe says on this parasha that each respective Shevet had his own role, had his own unique place. And though, they were each part of the individual unique role within the Sheva. So, let's say most famously, Sheva and Levi, of course, was known for their service in the Beis HaMikdash, each person in their own way. You suffer Zvulun, that great partnership. So if you're in Zvulun, you know that you went out and you worked. And you were on the ships, but each person does something else on the ship. Rabbi Hoffman takes it a step further with a beautiful vort from Rebbe, from our Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron says, in Parshas Emor, we see that the Ramban talks about the Mekalkel, this story that we read a few weeks ago, very difficult story, the man who cursed Hashem. He says, well, what was his yichus? Where was he from? And it speaks about how before the times of Mamre Har Sinai, the way we would determine whether or not you were a Jew or a Gentile was based on your father, right? Paternal lineage. As opposed to, and the Gemara Krisos actually speaks about this, and then by Mamre Har Sinai, it was by the mother. So the Ramban comes and he argues on the French Chachamim. No French people here today. Okay, good, don't get upset. And says that from the time that Avram entered the bris, of circumcision, he was called Yisrael. And it wasn't only the Har Sinai experience. Meaning, says the Ramban, it wasn't only this experience that, well, you just had Maimon Har Sinai and that's what made us the Jew. No, Avram Avinu made us Jews. So what was Maimon Har Sinai? There were these two almost brises that we had. Says Rav Aaron, both opinions are actually supported and correct. There's two dimensions to Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael, Jewish sanctity, is individual and collective. Individual Kedushas Yisrael starts with the Bris Milah at 8 days old that we had from the times of Avram Avinu, we are taught about this. But there is a collective Kedushas Yisrael, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, under Har Sinai. Both the Ramban and the French sages can agree that this distinction is both collective and individual. Kedushas Yisrael was established on Mamre Har Sinai that we were part of something bigger, but we're individuals. We have something unique inside of us to serve Hashem and to collect His Torah, to accept His Torah and His mitzvahs. That is different than anybody else. Rabbi Hoffman goes further and quotes a Rambam, the mitzvahs of Mamon Har Sinai, in Perek Gid Anosha, and the Chulin, the Ramban's commentary, Perush HaMishnayos, that he seems to claim that the mitzvahs that was given to us before Mamon Har Sinai, like Bris Milah, only really became real mitzvahs by Mamon Har Sinai. Yeah, there was bris before, but you know, that's a minchas chinuch difficulty, you know. It's pretty light, the first few parashios. And then when the Torah was given, you got plenty of mitzvahs. So he says, no, maybe that's the idea. There was, right, at a bris milah, what bracha do you make? Lachniso bebriso shel Avram, you know. Not lachniso bebriso shel Har Sinai. It's Avram's bris because of the individual versus the collective. We can say the same. The power of one is recognizing that he's actually two, that he's actually part of something greater. Vince Lombardi said, the individual commitment to a group effort, that's what makes teamwork. That's what makes a company work, a society work, a civilization work. Being the individual and saying, this is my role, I'm good at this, but I'm part of the team. Nobody plays football and goes up to the punter, the field goal kicker, and says to him, dude, I could do that. No, you're 350 pounds, you know, you're good at sacking. Do that. A 350 pound guy's not going to say, you know what? I can catch a touchdown, I could run really fast. No, you can't. Do what you're good at. That's what we have to be reminded of when we accept the Torah. So, I didn't lie to you. Let's talk about these individuals. Neto. Barzilai. Somebody I never heard of. Circa about a week and a half ago, I'm sorry to tell you, my daughter was talking about it a lot. I wasn't listening, of course. Part of my job as a father. And she was on the, you know, Israel's Got Talent show, Kochav something something. And she kept going and going and going. And she won. Everybody's like, I can't believe she won. She's got this song, Toy. I don't know what it is. And she makes weird sounds. I don't know what's going on. And she kept going on and on. And she said, can't possible. There's no way Eurovision will acknowledge her because she's from Israel. It can't be. There's no way. And in fact, on Motzei Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, I forced my kids to go to sleep and not to listen to it. But afterwards, we heard the announcer say, oh, that's it. Looks like who's going to win? Cyprus is going to win. That's it. They got the vote. And then all of a sudden, Israel won. Everybody was so happy. And she said the famous line, L'shan Abba B'Yushalayim. Now, some argue that her vort wasn't the vort that we think it wasn't the Al Pesach L'shan Abba B'Yushalayim. She just meant next year, you know, Eurovision is going to be in Yushalayim. But, you know, come on guys, it was Yom Yushalayim. You know, you got to look at it my way. But I have to say something. I don't know this woman at all. I just know that she's Teimani, and everybody says Kapar Alech. I used to have a Teimani housekeeper, and that's what she always would say when she broke something every week to Minhug. And she would say, you're so lucky, I broke something for you instead of your car breaking or something off of it happening. Kaparale. But the idea, I think, is that she realized it's not about me. And I heard a few interviews with her. And she said, and she's quite obviously a secular woman. I was surprised to hear a letter that was sent out of my daughter's school saying what she did is not a Kiddush Hashem, it's a Chil Hashem. And I was shocked, because we all thought of it probably differently. We could argue that some other time. But at some point, she recognized, I represent the state of Israel. And no matter what you say, that line that everybody's going to hear around the world is going to be L'shan Haba B'Yushalayim. Whether or not she knew she was saying it, or the Rebbeinu Shalom just put it in her mouth, something was heard about Yushalayim, on Yom Yushalayim. She recognized she's an individual with a talent, according to some, and that talent she used for good, for the Gentile nations to recognize. Pretty amazing, the power of one person, who I know thought she would never go this far. All those levels, and then say, wait, but it's all about Eretz Yisrael. It's all about representing who I am and what I am. So I think there is something to be said about that person. Because people do fall into that play, and sometimes they forget about the tzibur. They only think about themselves and their great accomplishments. It was but a few weeks ago we learned about the Shemitah year. You have a farm and you think it's all about you. It's not about other individuals. You don't even want to help out other people. The Torah teaches us, you want to accept the Torah? Take what's good in your eyes, what you can do good for the Torah, whether it's in chesed and mitzvos and of course of the learning of Torah, but also recognize your great qualities can be used as together in a tzibur, like the orchestra, each playing their own instrument to make it sound so beautiful. Next person, Bibi. Bibi Netanyahu, I was referring to the great prime minister. Some people like to call Hamelech Bibi. So he had, as you saw in the picture, they lied. I would think that the most technological country next to the United States, maybe number one, but let's just call it number two, would do something better than a PowerPoint presentation. But okay, it's not for me. Some robots coming in and, you know, I don't know. Some drones, I don't know, mobilize. But okay. And this sparked an amazing thing for a Jew to be gay. They attacked us. Rabbi said, you know what happened? Last week, hello. Iran tried to destroy people, kill people in Golan. Psst. Rabbi Shalom said, that's not going to happen. I believe that even Bibi Netanyahu understands what it is, the talents that he has and what he's able to do to pressure and to... This came out, and then a few days later, Mamish, you know, less than a week later, Trump says, okay, that's it, the deal's over, the Iran deal's over. We got all the information we need. From who? Where'd you get it from? The little country the size of New Jersey? What? Yeah. That country. Potentially saving thousands of individuals. But recognizing that he represents the Tzibur. And finally, of course, the week the Rebbeinu Shalom gave us on Isru Chag of Yom Yerushalayim, the secular date of the establishment of the State of Israel after 70 years, an embassy opening Yerushalayim. The realization of the great prophecies, again of Bayom Hu Yeh Hashem Echad, of nations finally recognizing and realizing that, and us, maybe ourselves, recognizing the great value of a prime minister getting up and saying B'Shem HaMalchus, you should have worn a yarmulke. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shechiyonu V'Kiyimonu V'Giyonu L'Zman Hazeh. Of reciting the prophecy. I hate to say this, L'Havdil, but Pastor Hagee said it quite well. Recognize the gift the Eibishter gave us. Okay, he didn't say Eibishter. But recognize what Hashem gave us. This great gift of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. And I even think Trump and everything people have to say about him, pompous, he's this, that. He recognized what he could do, the talent he had as the president of the free world and the effect it would have on the cloud. I believe that he understood that. And those that certainly helped him, Ambassador Friedman, recognizing this was his task. It's amazing. It's amazing. You guys have to recognize the power that you have only as one. You have to mekabel the Torah like no other year. What is my chelik be'araisa? What is my chelik? What do I accept? What is my thing? Is it halacha? Is it navi? Is it gemara? What is it? What am I going to take with me from this year in Israel? What will I take with me? And those individuals that are not in yeshiva for the year. Every year, whether you're 18, 22, or in your 40s. Say, what am I doing to increase my Torah knowledge? How am I helping individuals? Maybe I can give a shiur. Maybe I can have a chavrusa with this college guy who unfortunately maybe went to yeshiva for the year, but things aren't going so well for him religiously. The power of the individual is part of it, Seymour. Wow, what you're able to do. Pick up your flag and go with it. Your power is amazing. You have to recognize that as we accept the Torah. I'll end off with a story about the power of the individual, maybe in a different way. There's a minhag. Rabbi Krohn tells a story. It was told to him by the assistant rabbi of Boker Ratan, Rabbi Moskowitz. I heard it already now two times, maybe even three. I said, okay, I got to tell the story. I got to figure out some place I'm going to put it. So here's where I put it. So you know that there's a minhag. I don't think this is a good minhag. in the Tzva Haganah Yisrael, that after you're done with your service, you got to take some time off. And there are many soldiers who go to God-forsaken countries like Thailand and India and spend time there. And there was one soldier who ended up in Mumbai, in India. And unfortunately, he grew up marginally religious, but lost it all. And by the time he was in the army already, forget about it. And he finds himself in a cafe on a given night, maybe a bar is more correct, and he hears a faint sound. He listens carefully and he obviously recognizes he's Jewish, and he says, you know what that sounds like? That's like a shofar. Sure, I remember the shofar. Yeah. It bothers him a little bit too much. He gets up and he starts to say, it can't be, but all right, let's see. And he goes a few blocks and now he hears again another call of the shofar. So that's a shofar, there's no way. He keeps walking, third time he hears the shofar. It's so weird. He goes back to his apartment and he Googles today in Jewish history and the Yom Kippur comes up. And he says, oh my God, I grew up from how many years is it? And this is what happened to me? I didn't even know it was Yom Kippur. This was some Chabad rabbi. As you know, there's a Chabad in Mumbai. And it was after Yom Kippur, and he thought he would go around to the bars. Maybe there were Jews there. Maybe there were Israelis. Blow the shofar. Let them know that they can eat now beheter. Strange, but okay. And as the story goes, the same night, he takes all of his stuff and goes to the airport, and he says, I need to get back to Israel. Tell me how I can get there the quickest way. And on the plane, he commits. He's going to follow the path of the righteous and accept upon himself individually the Torah again. And he learns for years in yeshiva for over 10 years. And he, happy ending, has a great family and everything's wonderful. Great story about the individual. Look what he did. But I think more about the rabbi. This rabbi sits today, wherever he is, maybe someone told him the story already, but doesn't even know that this guy became frum because he think about this unbelievable oddity. He blew shofar. Somebody heard it and it made them frum from a shofar. So Rabbi Moskowitz quotes something we say in one, if not the most power tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is Tana Tokif. It says, V'choisev, v'choisev, v'tizkor kol nishkachos. Everything will be remembered. V'tiftach et sefer zechronos. God will open up the book of records. U'me'alav yikare. And itself it will read. I picture the video playing. God sits you down. He says, sit down, son. Watch this. Explain yourself. V'choisem yad kol odem bon. We'll have to be forced to sign our fate recognizing what we've done. So maybe, says Rabbi Moskowitz, Kol Adam, he's going to be Choysem. Who is that? Kol Adam Bo? No. That those people that change you, Kol Adam, are going to be remembered. Because we're going to watch the video and he's going to say, but that made me frum. God, what? He says, wait, let's do this. Open the video up. Who was that shofar blow? Ah! Rabbi so-and-so? Shkoyach. Zoych, I'm going to remember. And of course, the next words are, Rishofar Gadol Yitaka. The shofar's going to blow. You have no idea the power that you, Emir Tzashem, have and can have on other people because you are a part of a Sibor. Don't just think about yourself. Think about the effect that you could have. How important it is to make this year, this Chag HaShavuos, one that you take upon you, the greatest things. So that Emir Tzashem, you can be part of a tzibur with the Rabbanu Shalom's house. We should be zeichet to accept the Torah, recognize the nisim v'naflos that are standing in front of our eyes, Rabbi Yisrael. A Yom Yerushalayim like no other, the accepting of an embassy. I'll even include Eurovision in it. There's got to be something there. God should protect our soldiers that are sitting on the border against terrorists who are trying to annihilate the Jewish people simply because they are Jewish people. And we should be zeichet to see the prophecy of Yomahu Yam Hashemachad Ushmachad with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash from the Hira V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.